What up, what up, what up? It's your man, Alva Majet, better known as Top Notch Bartender here, and it is another episode of what? Conversations with a Bartender. All right. So, you already know, look, man, it's Friday night.
Saturday night.
Damn, it's Saturday night. You already know, I'm already geek. So,
I got you.
It's Saturday night. I got some special guests, y'all, tonight. I got my cuz here, my dog, my road dog from when we was fucking shitting in Pampers together, doing our thing. My cuz, Mr. Tabron, better known as Bone Lewis.
Mr. Tabron Lewis
in the house. And then I got my man, you know what I'm saying? My man, Mr.
Hemingway, aka Snacks,
aka Mr. Snacks in the house, you know what I'm saying?
What's goody?
You know what I'm saying? So look, y'all, it's another episode, Conversation with the Bartender. Nothing special, but we did want a doggone. I guess it is a little special, huh?
Yeah, it's special, bro.
It is special. We did want to just talk about A couple of things that's going on in
our current events,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm in a new land. We've been getting bent. Look, first of all, it done started since early, but since my cuz got, I got my man Snacks. I done did a couple of things, man. I done drunk a couple of
glasses of wine,
had some great, a great dinner.
Complimentary to the chef.
What? Complimentary to the chef. Who's the chef?
Compliment chef.
That's how we do.
Top notch bartender.
That's how we do. You know what I'm saying? It's another episode. You already know. But yeah, I did cook tonight, man. I cooked some Alfredo. Nothing major.
Shrimp Alfredo.
You know, shrimp Alfredo.
No jar type stuff.
I did do it from scratch with the doggone heavy whipping cream and the Parmesan cheese, stuff like that. So I decided, look, man, I'm here. We eating. We drinking. We might as well just go ahead on and do a show. Like, let's talk about some things.
What's going on, man?
That's going on with current events. Everything that's going on with the world right now.
Your boy, Deshaun Watson, what are you doing to
like,
him, man?
What are you doing? So we're going to start off, man. Look, first topic. You know what I mean? Look, what you think? You know what I'm saying? Look, I got my man Preston over here. Look, yo, He is a millennial, y'all. I don't know if it, no, he ain't no, I guess he is. He is a millennial. He's a millennial, y'all. So,
just turned 29.
He on the phone. You already know he on the phone.
Happy belated birthday, Press.
That's what millennials do. Happy belated birthday.
29 up in the house.
29 in the house.
I remember when I was 29, baby.
What are you doing, 29?
Man, look. 29, I was about to get married.
Man, that was years ago.
I was about to get married. If you remember when I was 29, dog, I was calling y'all back and forth. We didn't have the cell phone connection where we could text
hip hop.
I was calling y'all like, yo, son, I need y'all to come down here so we can get fitted for these suits. That's what 29 was for me. I was out there and I was doing carpet and I was selling that stuff.
I was already married with kids at 29.
Yeah.
Living what they call the
American life.
Whatever. Anyway, we're gonna skip along, man. Look.
America Life.
What they say. So, yeah. I don't know if y'all know, man, but I'm addicted to these damn fucking
double bubble gum,
gum balls that go in the gum machine. That's what I'm eating on right now. I'm eating that and drinking wine at the same time, yo. It ain't a combo. I guess it is a combination. This shit is good. But look, man, we want to talk about a couple of things tonight, man. We're going to start off with our boy.
Deshaun Watson,
you know what I'm saying? Our boy, that's my man. Look, Deshaun Watson, we want to know what y'all think, y'all. What the fuck is going on with Deshaun Watson right now? Like, all the headlines, everything is going on. We hear all the news. I ain't really been following this shit, but we want to know what the fuck is going on. So I'm going to ask my man, Mr. Prescott, Mr. Snacks himself.
Wow, he think.
What he think? What the fuck is going on? Since he a little bit more tapped into the social media than I am, so I'm gonna see what he think. What's going on with your man, yo? Nigga, is he tripping or is he what the deal?
Is this really happening?
I mean, if you ask me, my opinion is gonna be biased because I'm a Deshaun Watson fan. I'm a Clemson fan, so I'm gonna call bullshit. I just feel like it's something to keep him or discourage him from even using. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know Deshaun's story, and his background, then this just don't sound, it don't sound right. It don't seem right. You know what I'm saying? And then my next statement don't really matter because, you know, you can have the baddest girl in the world and still cheat, but my man got a pretty bad female. So it don't add up to me.
It don't register to you.
It don't add up to me.
That's a millennial.
But my thing is, though, just because you got a bad girl don't mean any motherfucker ain't out there.
I understand that, too, but it's just like, if you really been following this kid since high school, and you know, like, his background and what he been through and what he done did for his community and people, it just don't, it don't sound right.
I feel you.
Then with everything that's going on with the organization he's trying to leave, and they've been known to be shady, so it's just, I don't know, you know.
So you think it's something they're throwing out there because he wants to leave and shit?
Possibly, but you know.
I get you. I mean, you know, possibly he wanted
to. I wasn't there. And I don't know any facts, just like nobody else do besides the people that was there to actually. If it happened, nobody knows what the people.
Well, I don't even look. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't even really know what went on. I'm just like catching little clips and hearsay about what went on. But from my understanding, he went to some massage parlor or some doggone let me get you right type of spa club or something, I don't know. And he went and got his thing right. He went and got his shit off or whatever it was. Or I don't even know the whole story. Like, what was it?
Well, my thing is, you hear how I stopped and paused, right? Because I'm thinking about it. My thing is, how is it possible that this young man, who has been a poster boy from the time he entered Clemson and into college, to the point where his mom having cancer, winning the national championship, she having tongue cancer, where he became an animal to people, because that's what it seems like they're trying to make him now. And I say, from his decision to say, I'm not going to sit and allow somebody to treat me like an animal. I'm not going to let somebody sit and treat me like a piece of stock. I want to be a winner.
Yeah, but I mean, did he do what the fuck he did or what? I mean, all that is all good, but did he do what the fuck is he accused of anyway? Harassing some broads at the spa? Yeah,
supposedly, but this is like they keep bringing up new females, but my thing is like they ain't bringing up no time frame. So did he assault all six women at one time? Like, I don't know. You know?
Man, so that's like we'll never know until we get some more information.
However, the thing about it is, why is it that a young black man could be pulled out after making a decision of saying, hey, I want to leave this job, not being fired, but he decides that he wants to leave a job and he's going to be blackballed like this? How often have we as black men try to defend ourselves and try to be better and try to go further? And we've always had to deal with someone trying to knock us down and take us outside and just put us on a tree branch.
Oh, that's day
and
one.
Whip the shit out of us.
That's day one, man.
So what is the difference between Deshaun right now, what the speculation of him being accused of all of these things, than a slave man being strapped on a tree and being whipped?
But you already, the NFL that shows you what it was, how many times?
He got paid, didn't he?
He played
it's
for
not
the
about
NFL.
Got paid? It's about the fine black print.
Look.
He played for the NFL.
Look, let me tell you
something. That's the slave
industry,
bro. Like,
yeah.
That's modern day slavery, but NFL.
The Texans said,
so give me
yo,
some.
I done gave you this money. I done gave you this money.
And that's another thing.
And you're not
signing a contract. You just signed, I gave you this money, man. Look, come on, you tripping, dog. If you think
and you're not
I'm gonna give you all this money and you ain't gonna all gonna bow down to what I done put in place.
That's a however. That's not a but in it. It's a however, because when you say but, you say you deter everything that you're going to say to me, because I say, however, him going into this new contract.
Podcast ain't trash. Whenever they made their agreement, a contractual agreement, it was some guidelines that the Texans were supposed to follow. And you know him as a teacher. I mean, him as a player. He probably thinking the organization gonna listen to him, but you know the organization gonna do what they want to do at the end of it anyway. Because the policy
it's the
big.
Bottom line for the organization. It's the bottom line. You know what I'm saying?
But in all, they were supposed to keep him. He was supposed to be involved in the hiring of the new head coach and all of that. He was supposed to whatever they. That's what they had agreed to.
Okay.
They had agreed
okay.
that he was going to be involved
okay.
in the hiring of the head coach and all of that. So
and he wasn't.
And he wasn't. They made all the decisions by themselves and then just presented it to him. And he was like, y'all ain't keeping y'all
Y'all
word.
Ain't keeping y'all words.
So I ain't
down.
Fucking with y'all.
I ain't fucking with y'all.
That's how that played out.
So it was like, we're going to come up with something to distract everybody else. And we're going to try to make you look like you the bad guy.
Right. We're going to make it look like it's you when really we told you we was going to do this and we ain't hold up our end of the bargain.
Okay. I got you. All right, so. All right, I got you. Deshaun Watson, man. We good. We done talked about it, man. Look, it's time to move on, man. Look, we ain't about to sit on every subject, man. So it's time to move on. Next subject.
Right.
Man, look. What is up with these cats doing violence to the Asians, man? Like, people beating up Asians, spitting on them, beating them up in the subways and shit. And
that's cool.
What's up with that shit, man? Like, what you think? Like, you think people just got them crazy because they think that COVID comes straight from China and they still got it as they fault? Or... I mean, what you think? You think it's justified? What you think? What y'all think?
There is no justification.
None at all.
On treating someone and ill will are without humanity.
Hey, man, they turn
it's
them.
Not an amen. I'm going to tell
they
you right
turn
now.
Them in, man.
They are human. They have eyes, nose, ears, mouth, legs, arms, fingers. They are human.
That's a fact. You come and in, when you're hear you.
Exactly. So if they can be treated that way, why is it? Why do black lives matter? Why do black lives matter if you can treat an Oriental person or
a Oriental?
I'm saying I'm the giving
Oriental.
You, I am
yeah,
giving you
correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. I apologize. Asian. Mm-hmm. If you can treat an Asian descent negatively or wrong, why? What's the wrong in America? What's wrong with treating a black person or a?
Yeah, it's the same thing, man. They just, you know, Asians, man. They had a hard path too, man. When it comes to being in America, man, yeah. From day one, they've had a hard path. Just like not just like, but they've had a hard path too. I wouldn't compare it to African Americans, but
there's no comparison.
No comparison, but they've had it hard, and they're still taking it right now, man. Like, you get instances of people getting, women getting spit on at the grocery stores, in the subways, man, and in the retail shopping centers. Asian women getting spit on.
And I don't know if the
black women get that every day. It's just not publicized.
Well,
white women get that every day, and it's not publicized. However, now that the society and the world we live in today with social media, we know a little bit more how the abusive land has been to women.
What do you
We've
think,
always known that women have been abused.
But what do you think the uptick in violence against Asians come from? Like, why are you getting so much of it right now?
Because of the ignorance. What did we find out? As soon as we found out about Corona, we found out that it was coming from an Asian country. We thought that, we were told, we didn't find out, I apologize. We were told that the virus came from an Asian country. We were tricked to believe that what we know today as the coronavirus came from an Asian country. So, you cannot tell me, not only white, black, or whatever, there is some hatred. And people don't say it quite as loud as a cape or a mask now. They say it differently. They say it with a gun. Mm-hmm. They say it with slanders on social media. They say it with slickness of catching somebody slipping.
Mm-hmm.
They catch you with like we can go to Atlanta where people have been losing their lives on the freeway. Oh my God, people have been losing their lives on the freeway, bro.
Yeah, they're playing different in Atlanta.
It's a different game out here, man.
It's a playground.
It's a different game. It's like 20 years ago in Florida, they were dropping bricks on 95. And people's
oh shit! You have look, not even that. You have your boy Malvo. Malvo exactly. Was sniping them off back in the day. Look, I remember me and my man Gino. Look, we had to go. AKA
smoke them all.
What man? Look, man. Remember my man Gino, man. We had to go. We had to go to VA to go pick up some furniture for our crib. And it was right during the height of the Malvo, the DC sniper, my nigga. Look.
He wasn't looking at y'all, bro.
Dog.
He had a list. He had a blacklist.
Look, but we was shook. So this was during the time where the motherfuckers was telling you when you was out there that you had to walk like this and shit, like in a snake, like pattern and shit.
Staying at the pump, don't stand still. Keep
man, look, we did it all, man.
I
look,
remember that when I was
we there. Had to go to VA and pick this friendship up. Remember, man, we get gas, man. We like bobbing and weaving, trying to, you know what I'm saying? Like, niggas was, cash is really on that shit, man.
Yeah.
But, we doing that shit, yo. Look, we turned out good, but DJ Sniper, he was real, yo. Malvo and what was the other motherfucker name? It was some shit.
I don't need no name. I'm gonna tell you right now.
I remember Malvo though. That's why I remember Malvo.
My family in DC, Maryland. And I'm gonna tell you right now, Virginia, we was on the phone all of the time during that time. Yeah, not even try to figure out. We just want to stay connected. We had an attorney. I mean, we had family members. We had everybody in Virginia, Hopewell, Richmond, you name it, Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
We was worried. That's where my people from, my father's people. And I was like, yo, me? I like these old ignorant ass people.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It was crazy during that time, man.
It was. But to the Asian women though, bro, like, man, honestly, I think I find it more appalling that the officer said that the white guy just had a
bad day. He had a bad day.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's more crazier than him actually killing however many people.
Eight or nine, right?
Yeah, something like
he
that.
He had a bad day, man. He had a bad day, man. Damn. He was sitting there that damn. He was sitting there thinking of he. He was sitting there thinking of ways he can that damn do something stupid. Mm. Shit just didn't go his way that day.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Well, help me have a better day, Dad.
What do you think? Yeah, I mean, you know.
I'm going to say this, Al. And I say Al like.
You know they make excuses for them. You know they make excuses for them boys.
Think I'm going to make an excuse for him.
Not you. I said they make excuses for
them. Listen, the thing about it is, let me tell you something.
Like, I feel like white people can feel the shift coming. And they losing it. They wigging out. They crashing out. They don't know how to handle it.
They got to.
Because during this quarantine, you done seen, I don't know how many black millionaires sprang up during this quarantine. White ones too, but black people done came up during this quarantine like no other time before.
And it's
like, it's a change, it's a shift in power going on. And white people don't want to see that shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's more than just black people.
I wouldn't say white people don't want to see it. You know what I would say? The higher power of white.
Yeah, the powers that be.
Because the white people are just right there with us because it's a lot of white people.
It's the one percenters.
Yeah, the one percenters don't want to see the B. However, it's some white soldiers right there today, right now.
That's true. My verbiage was wrong. I'm sorry.
No, it's not true. You wasn't wrong at all.
No, I'm not saying I was wrong. I was wrong for the words I chose to use.
So on behalf of that, I say, like, I'll even say even at work today, at my job, I was walking out the crib, out the door, and a white guy that I work with hit me with a Biggie lyric to kind of sew up what I was finishing up because he saw me finishing up on the telephone. And he was like, I said, what you know about that? I says, you seem to be one, and I went totally racist. I said, yo, you should be one to listen to Dave Matthews. And he said, listen, one thing about me, white guys now, we listen to both. We listen to Dave Matthews.
They in tune.
Yeah.
They in tune, because they keeping tabs on what we got going on.
Man, they were... However, the thing about
it. But you got to stay informed, though. That's how you stay ahead is staying informed.
The informants of what he said, though, was something that I remember back 25 years ago when I was in school. I had one white friend, a Caucasian friend. He was from Canada, who had all of the music. N.W.A., Eazy-E, Eric B. and Rakim. KRS-One, Flavor Flav, all of that music, right?
He was about that.
He got it before us.
Hip hop.
You also got to think, too, though, not to cut you off, but Caucasian people are the consumers that actually go to the store and buy music.
And that's where I was about to go.
Black
folk
gonna bootleg that shit.
Yo, and not only that, he was the one who.
Damn, I just want to fucking call out black people, man.
That's the truth, though.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Because I'm going to tell you right now, for one, black people back 60 years ago is what made Dick Gregory's. What's his name? Good God rest his soul. James Brown's. All of those actors and the Sidney Poitier, our people are the ones who made them rich. You know why? Because they went downtown and spent me $5 and got them boys into the big time.
Mm-hmm.
They the ones who pioneered. So, and that's not a knock. That's not a saying that what you're saying is wrong. It's just saying that, you know, like even Bill Cosby, I was just like on YouTube the other day, and this is the first time that I had seen it. And I knew, I was thinking like, you know, I was trying to figure out why is the system trying to decapitate Bill Cosby in his latter years? Because for one, I went back to his 1973. If you go back, Bill Cosby was in a school. He had a interview in a school. It was a black teacher with students, black and white students. And he broke it down, how the government was.
The disparities. Blacks and fucking whites.
And they showed he bought psychiatrists out, where he showed how psychiatrists watched how white kids would draw a picture to black kids drawing a picture. And the difference between how white kids would draw a picture with a full body person and how all of the black kids would make stick people. Mm-hmm. And what the psychological background meant behind
that.
And watching that as a 44-year-old black man who has children, who understands that even me today, I plead with my children, when they're in their whips, if any time,
Your kids got whips?
Yeah, my kids got whips. All my kids, if they got license, they got whips in my house.
They got whips. What kind of whips your kids got?
I got one
got a... He don't want to talk now. Who? He got whips, y'all. Bone kids got whips, y'all, man.
One of my kids told me the other day, because I wasn't a good dad to him. The dude told me, he said, look, nigga, I did this myself.
Okay.
This nigga driving a 2020, right? And I said, you know what? You're right. However, you still of my blood. So I know why you push like that.
Hey, I know why you push like you did. He told the dude, look, man, you ride good because you of my blood.
You are descendant of my blood.
It don't matter if you got my money, you got my blood running in your veins.
It's in your veins. And that's hard. When you understand one thing, though, the one thing that I help them understand is that, you know what? One thing about your pops is don't ever judge him, because he always wanted you. He just didn't know if he was his. And that's the crazy thing. That's the generational pool. And it's almost like from Jim Crow, where he knocked us down and he gave us all of these fucked up ways that we now, our new way of dang on fucking up relationships with our black kids, us black men, is that now they give us child support. They make us dang on broke ass niggas. They don't put us in jail. They just say, nigga, you can only make $9 an hour.
That's it. And I need to rest.
And I need to rest.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Until then.
And nigga, hey. Look, nigga, and I say nigga, and I'm not calling us nigga. I'm saying, just nigga, if you ain't doing it, if you ain't got no skills,
you ain't doing it. You ain't doing it.
We're going to break you.
You know, because this Pinot Negrigi right here, it's like everybody starts to flock to it because of musical musicians. Yeah. You know, what is his name? The Baby?
The Baby.
He's got a lyric in there where he puts it on it, you know. And however, tasting this tonight, I'm kind of feeling so like a rock star. Yeah.
So it sounds like Mr. Bone like the Pinot Grigio that we were drinking.
Yeah.
Look, that was just leading up to dinner. So I cooked a shrimp Alfredo. It was delicious.
Magnifique.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever he said. So that's what we did. And we drank that before. But then for dinner, we actually paired that with a Cloud Break Chardonnay, a 2019 vintage.
Cali.
Cloud Break Chardonnay. Look, so this one right here, man, it was real buttery, had some oak tones, had some vanilla tones to it, creamy. Real nice. I mean, it was real nice to go with the pair with the shrimp Alfredo. I mean, I must admit. I mean, it was a real good. What you think about it?
If you really know your foods and your tastes, if you're drinking right with it, you'll find something in the back of your jaw.
In the back of the jaw.
And that thing was hitting every time.
It was hitting.
We hit it. We could pull the glass. Hey. And you hit it.
All I can say is both bottles empty.
It intensified the food.
Both bottles empty. So
it was an intensification of the food, man, where
that's what we was doing.
Listen,
tonight.
When you sipped it, it was like, oh my God. You was like, damn, the bartender and the cook is slamming.
So
it's slamming.
I wasn't even bartending tonight. I did do some wine pairings, but I did cook.
Top-notch bartender.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good, I must admit. But look, right now, y'all, this is what we're doing. We're gonna do a wine review. So we drunk Chardonnay, we drunk Pinot Grigio. We're gonna put those aside.
You know what I'm saying?
It was pretty good. Both of them had some fruit tones. The Pinot Grigio was real clean. You could tell it was probably fermented in some steel barrels or something, but it was real clean. It was real citrusy. Had some fruit tones, of course, of apricot. It had some melon. Had some cantaloupe. You could taste some all of that in that
Pinot Grigio. I did taste the cantaloupe.
You did taste the cantaloupe. Yeah. So you could taste all of that in the Pinot Grigio. The Chardonnay was buttery. Had some oak. You could tell it was actually fermented in some oak barrels. So it take on some vanilla tones, some vanilla aromas, of course, but it was really good, real buttery, real silky across the palate.
It made the food. It complemented the food.
It enhanced the flavors of the food. Did that. It definitely brought out some of the Parmesan flavors of the cheese and everything. So that was good. But tonight, for the review, we doing a red. We switching over to a red, y'all.
We had our waters though.
We had our waters. We drinking our waters and everything. So we switching over to a red. So tonight, as far as our red, we are drinking a Cabernet. Mm-hmm. It is a Overbrook Cabernet. Not from Napa Valley, but Sonoma Valley. The other side of town. You know what I'm saying? In Cali. So that's how we doing tonight. So
things always different on the other side of town.
Always different on the other side of town. So look, this is what we're going to do. We ain't going to be long, but I wanted to get my cuz to be able to taste some wine, be able to review it, be able to talk about it, see what he think. And then while we're doing that, I'm going to interview him, of course. We're going to get into some deep conversation, because this is conversations with a bartender. So, you know, we're going to get it in. So we're going to do a little something. But for right now, we're going to pour these. I already done open it. I ain't about to waste time on that right
now. You're not wasting no time.
Let me get your glass, cuz.
I'll get mine first.
Right? Look, cuz ready. Look, he ready. And we ain't going to do just no taste. We're going to actually drink some. We're going to drink some. Don't pour me some. Got to smell it first.
Oh, did y'all hear that? Did you hear how he poured it?
All right, so of course of the tasting, we're going
to
see how it smell. So, cuz, you tell me what you get from the smell. Now, take your time. Close your eyes. Do what you got to do. What you think of the smell? What you think of the aromas? And tell me what you get from it. Take your time.
I smell burgundy.
Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
Burgundy. Yeah.
And it's not the color burgundy. It's like...
it's like some type of grape or...
it's a burgundy grape. It's like the dark, rich grape that you know, like with the you get off the back of your grandma vine. Back in the day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what you get. What else you get?
I'm gonna sip this because I want to get the full. I want to get the full. My taste bud got to go with my nose. You know, I got to put both of them together.
Okay. Tell me what you get.
I get a mixture that it's almost like a it's like a dark grape. Just all in all.
Like a dark grape.
It's a dark grape, man. That made you look. Made you think like, look, you be sitting there like,
hey, man, you get a dark grape, y'all.
Tell me what you get.
Off the aroma and off the smell, I'm definitely getting some dark fruit. Maybe some black currant, some plum. I'm getting like leather. I'm getting some leather. I'm getting some like spice, some vanilla spice, some chocolate.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting. Actually, off the aroma, you gotta let it be able to hit the back of the nostril.
Back of the nostril.
You gotta let it hit the back of the nostril, the back of the throat when you soaking it in. When you smelling it, it's gonna smell a little different when you think about it. When you close your eyes and really think about it. So I'm gonna take this a little. I'm gonna take a little taste.
Mm.
Okay. So I'm gonna tell you right now what I get. The tannins in this is not very bold. It's medium tannins because it's not really puckery. It's not like real dry. It's not like
it doesn't make it quiver.
It's not like pow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not bold like that. The tannins are real medium.
It doesn't dry your back of your tongue out.
It doesn't dry the back of your tongue out, but it does have some fruit tones to it.
And it's a Cabernet.
It's a Cabernet. It does have some fruit tones. It's a Sonoma. So I've drank some Sonoma wines, and it's definitely different compared to some Napa Valleys. But this one right here is definitely soft with tannins. Not even gonna say soft, but medium tannins. It's fruit forward. When I say fruit forward, I mean you can definitely taste the plum. You can taste the black currants. You can get some vanilla out of it. It tastes like some spice. You definitely get some spice to it. I'm getting leather. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting like leather. Like, I don't, you know, if you...
I see what you're saying, leather.
Mm-hmm. If you smell leather, you
smell it.
Some fresh leather, and on the back end, that's what I'm getting. Well, I'm getting leather.
Well, where does that come from? Where's that?
Well,
from?
a lot of wines, most wines, red wines, they're fermented and they're aged in barrels, oak barrels. Okay. And oak barrels take on a lot of flavors. So you're talking about a tree, right? Okay, oak. So you're taking on maple, you're taking on vanilla, you're taking on chocolate. You're taking on so many different flavors when it, and that's what gives off. And the more it age, the more flavors, the longer it age, the more flavors it takes on. And that's where you get all these different robust flavors in this wine.
Okay.
So that's how you get that right there.
Okay.
Okay.
He just taught me something. Just listening to him and listening to what he told me is. I know what I'm smelling.
You try to get you try to get it from the back of the throat, basically.
Back of the nose.
Yeah, back of the nose. And you try to just open your mind up to so many different things, just not tasting
it's grapes. Actually, even when you smell it, right, it gives you, it like opens your, it's almost like it opens your windpipes.
Because you got to understand, you know, these grapevines that they grow these grapes on has been sitting in this type of soil. They sit in certain types of soil, right? And this soil takes on so many elements of
natural life.
You gotta think, you know, natural life, everything that goes in this ground, they take it on, you know. So whether it be these grapes are getting sat on by bees or whatever the case may be, they get in touch by a lot of things. Okay. So that's why you're getting so many different flavors and aromas of wine. So with all that, man, look, I got my cuz here. Look, my cuz is something special, y'all. Look, he real special. And when I say special is because he's one of those cousins, man, that I always looked up to, especially when we became like adults, you know, and not even adults, but young adults, okay? So we are a year apart. He's ahead of me 1 year. But he's always been like that dude that always was ahead of his time. You get what I'm saying? He was ahead of his time when we was young. Like when we was young, he's a dude that had the posters on the wall of all the hot rappers. You know what I'm saying? He's a dude that had the posters on the wall of all the hot doggone NBA players.
MJ.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a little bit ahead of his time, and he had to grow up a little bit faster than a lot of other of our peers and a lot of our family members. He had to grow up a little bit faster. So I wanted to bring him on. I wanted to interview him, and so he can give a little bit of information about him. And how he, you know, came from one place and went to another and came up out of some of his struggles. And, you know, so real quick, it's not going to be a long interview.
You'll catch it in the book.
You catch it in the book.
Straight,
straight off, man, look, this is my cousin Tabron Lewis, a.k.a., like I said, Mr. Bone. And I don't know where he got the bone from. I guess the bone, but I know he played football, so I don't know if he was like a heavy hitter or something. But
that's exactly where I got it from, the football field. We'll
get into that. But what's good, though, man? What's good? We done ate dinner. We done did all of that. Had a couple of bottles.
Oh, a couple. We done had a few of them things.
Yeah, man. How's everything, man? How's life, man?
Man, life is grand. I can't complain. I have no complaints. My cousin right here. He's bringing nothing but energy and good life.
That's how we do.
You know what I'm saying?
Keep it top notch.
I just been loving how we've been going back and forth on how, you know, the growth of boy to man.
Yeah, man.
You know, and just sitting here and like, even when you called me a few days ago and said, hey, yo, Bone, I'm going to come through. Yo, I want to interview you. I'm like, dang, that's cool. That's what's up. And one of the great things about it is that, like, I was watching from a distance and not always, like, you know, giving you feedback in your first couple of hits. And I thought about it. I was like, yo, what? I was supposed to come to